I'm Mallory King, certified trainer and sports nutritionist and creator of the Fit Life Academy brand. After losing 100 pounds, I became obsessed with helping women finally reach their goals through evidence-backed nutrition and brain-based tools. My life's mission is helping you discover that creating food freedom and falling in love with fitness are the greatest acts of self-care. I'm so glad you're tuning in today, and I know you're ready to say yes to your new life of joy, pleasure, and peace. So let's begin. Oh me, oh my. What is up, Fit Friends? We have a very special guest on the podcast today. It has been over a year of me recording episodes for this podcast, and somehow this is the first time ever that my very best friend slash baby daddy slash husband is on the podcast with us. Hi, Thomas.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello.
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
You look nervous.
It's really nice to be in my office.
It's nice to be in your office. Yes, this is where I record my podcast, in your office. You have very nice soundproofing. And actually, you have been like going all out, decking out this this office, which you call a studio, for your podcast. So thanks for setting it up for my podcast, too.
Yeah, no problem.
So a few episodes back, I had opened up to the listeners about what had happened last year, particularly like with me personally and my mentee bee that I had. That's what I'm officially calling it. But yeah, you know, my healing journey and just uncovering the trauma and dealing with it finally, and everything that ensued with that last year. So it's actually going to be really interesting to get your take on some of these things because you haven't listened to that episode.
No.
You have no idea what I said.
I feel like I'm being called out right now.
Why?
Because I haven't listened to it.
No, I haven't released it yet.
So oh, okay. Well, all right. Awesome.
I love how you didn't know.
I was like, oh, man.
Have you ever listened to an episode of my podcast?
I've listened to a few of them, yes. But I wasn't really into podcasts at the time when I listened to them, but I did like yours.
So. Wait, so my podcast got you into podcasts?
I would have to say, yeah. Like,
that's cool. I love that. It's really funny that I have a podcast because I don't like podcasts and I don't listen to podcasts, but...
You listen to one.
What?
Two Bears, One Cave.
With yeah. All the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes I listen to that. They are really funny, but... I do really appreciate this like kind of outlet for being able to share my stories and share my advice to the world. So anyway, and also I think it's totally fair that you don't listen to my podcast because you know everything that goes on in my life and I bother you with all of the information that I share on here. But I think it's going to be really cool to get your take or have the listeners get your take on what last year was like, not knowing like what I said and what I shared. But also like we didn't like prep for this episode at all. We're really like going
not
into
even
this.
A little.
Yeah, we're really raw dogging this episode right now. So before we talk about like your experience with last year and like I have some questions for you on like mental health and you know, trauma and all that fun, just a light conversation. Just,
yeah, cool. Yeah.
Just keeping it casual. I do want to first kind of like give the listeners a better idea of who the fuck you are. Like, they just know you're my husband. And some of the people listening, they have been a part of like my social media journey for, God, maybe even a decade. It's been over a decade of me consistently being on there. So some people have known you or known about you for over a decade.
Yeah.
And there are people on social media, on Instagram especially, that just absolutely love you.
Yeah. Hi. I don't know why, but I love you too.
I think it's because you're a gentle giant. It's just very apparent, the energy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really like think I use social media the right way. I try to be like funny.
What's the right way to use social media?
I don't know. Like, I'm not, like, on it all the time. Like, not like you are, but, like, I don't post very much. It's typically, like, just comment or send you reels. Like,
yeah. I mean, I think the average Instagram user, that's their experience, you know? For me, it's literally my job to post. a lot of people that use social media, it's not part of their job to have to post. So I think that's totally normal.
I have been sharing a lot more stories and stuff, but as far as my actual feed, often.
Yeah. All. Yeah. You have been sharing a lot of tidbits of like your own mental health journey and fitness mm-hmm. journey. And it's really cool to see. So let's tell everybody like what you do. So we have been together for 15 years now. Yes. We have.
Why are you asking me?
I had to ask myself. I was like, wait, is it 15 years?
Oh, man.
I had to make sure it was 15 years. We have been married for 10 years now.
Is it 10?
10 years now? Is it? No. Wait, will it be 10 this year?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for I love that you know that.
I don't know why I went so high pitched on that either.
I liked it. It's cute.
This is funny though, because it's like, you know, you're saying, oh, what do? And it's basically traditional role reversal. It's literally like you're feeding into it by how long have we been together? How long have we been married?
All right. So yeah, so let's get into it. So we have 2 children together, 9-year-old and a 2.5-year-old.
We have an 8.
Oh, he will be 9 in a month. Close enough. I can't believe that. It is
weird.
It's
like,
weird.
I was thinking about it.
It's making me feel old.
I mean, not just that. It's just like how fast it went by.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what they always say. And that's true.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. That's why I feel like with Lily, with our youngest, we are both savoring it so much more.
Well, yeah. I mean, we weren't necessarily expecting to be pregnant with Marshall. And
he was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I was 23 when I had him, just graduated college, 2-3 months before we found out I was pregnant.
Yeah. And
we were dating, not yet married.
It was a lot more stressful with Marshall, just, you know, being younger, not as prepared for the world. And then also just the amount of, and the amount of growth that we've done since then. I think, yeah, I do really enjoy cherishing it with her. You know, she's, it's awesome. I'm really being more present.
Yeah. Well, I think we both know that it's our last child, too. So I think that helps. Like, I really want to, like, savor this and be patient with her and enjoy the moment with her, because I ain't having no more kids. This uterus is shut down.
Yeah. That's not, like, a dismissive, I don't, you know, like, get an opportunity statement. It's like, no, actually, this is it. Like, this is our family. This is what it was meant to be.
Perfect. You know? It's absolutely perfect. Yeah. So please go schedule your vasectomy.
Yes. I was thinking about that last week, too. It's crazy.
So
Marshall's almost 9. I should get a vasectomy.
Yeah, it's time. Now you're allowed to. When you tried to, thankfully, didn't go through with it.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not, I don't know. Like, I went in and, or did I call?
You called. Yeah. Well, you went in because of
I went in to get my balls checked because I was worried about it was when the first Deadpool movie came out, and one of the trailers was like how to check your balls for testicular cancer.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, let me give this a shot. And then I was like, is that a lump? So I started freaking out.
You also had that issue where when you like finished, your one ball would like shoot up inside you.
I wasn't gonna bring that part.
Why are we not? Listen, this is a health podcast. We need to let people know that.
Oh yeah, like okay. So that also combined with the fact that I thought I felt a lump, went to see the urologist. I think that's the first time that my balls were touched by a man, an adult. Wait, hang on.
We're getting deep here.
Oh, Jesus.
We're getting right
into
it.
That is not what I meant. The first time that another guy touched my balls as a man.
As a man. Wow. Yeah. Did that make you a man? Was that the moment that you got your manhood? So you had to go to a primary physician first, right? And then you were like, hey, I'm concerned about my balls.
No. I just looked up urologist.
I don't think that's how it usually is supposed to work.
And then I called and I was like, hey, I think I have a lump. And they were like, oh, well, what insurance do you have? For insurance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I went in and yeah, it turns out that I don't have a lump. It's just a vein or ventricle or something. I forget what it's called, but it's like wrapped around the right testy. So whenever I climax, it like constricts, pulls my testy all the way inside.
Which is apparently pretty common, right?
Yeah, it is common. Can be fixed with surgery, but at the time I was like, you know, it's not painful. I'm not worried about it. But if I go in for a vasectomy, I'm like,
so that too. When you went to that appointment, is that when you brought up, I want a vasectomy?
No, that was later.
Oh, okay.
That was when we lived in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Because we had joked about it for a while. And then I started, again, was calling around. I think I ended up calling like our insurance agent or something. And they helped me find somebody. I called them. I was like, hey, I was wondering if I could schedule my vasectomy. They got my age and stuff and then asked how many kids I had. And at the time, we only had Marshall. And I was like, they were like, we can't do that because you're under 27 and you might want to have more children.
Which worked out.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I guess like the traditional thing is, you know, that it's easier for a vasectomy, for a guy to get a vasectomy than for a woman to get like your tubes tied or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
And, yeah.
It's a lot easier to reverse it. So in my eyes, it's like, I can just get it reversed later on.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell me like that I can't get this done? I would like to, but I'm not going to have a kid right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to their discretion, right? It's a voluntary or not voluntary. What's the word?
Elective
surgery. Yeah. Yeah. So it is up to their discretion. If you were like, you know,
it was just weird because they said under a certain age and that I only had one child.
I mean, they were right, though. That's the thing.
That is kind of
creepy.
They
were right. Yeah. You ended up getting over that age and deciding, I want to have another kid. But now we're certain. Now we're...
Yeah, 100%, dude. Because it was, we had Lily and it was, she's awesome. She's great. She's a great baby. She always has been. And so was Marshall. But totally forgot about that newborn stage. Just how little you sleep and how much you're just in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know? I was talking about it in my last podcast because I was talking about how it gets harder to lose weight as you get older. And I was brought up like having the process of like childbirth and the recovery after was so much harder at 30 versus 23. Like my body was so beat up having a kid at 30 versus, which is funny because like, I feel like I don't actually know the average age in the U.S. for when people typically have their first child, but I think it is, you know, upper 20s or around 30. Like, I had the experience of at 23. Man, I mean, honestly, even though we were like, I felt like we were kids, we didn't have a lot of money, like, we really weren't prepared. In a lot of ways, it was nice to have a kid at that, at 23, because having to stay up through the newborn phase and, like, having to go through the physical recovery, like, all of those things were so much easier being younger versus 30. And I was like, man, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I do like the age gap too, though, just because Marshall's been able to help out so much with Lily, you know? And when we had Marshall, like, okay, like, I don't want to leave him in the room alone. I don't want to take a shit and be like, oh God, what's he doing? So hey Marshall, watch your sister for a little bit, like, and he loves her so much.
They're what, 6.5 years apart?
Yeah,
just about. So I mean, there's pros and cons to that age gap, but like the con would be like they're never gonna be in school together. Like, he graduates from elementary school and then she starts the following year, so that's, you know, kind of a con. But
it's also kind of cute though, because he gets to walk her to the bus stop
and
you know, like, and then she gets to go to the, see him when he gets back from the bus. Like,
they get along so well.
They love each other. It's adorable.
There's really not that like sibling rivalry with them, or like, you know, they don't get into fights and stuff like that. I mean
there is
so
a little
young.
Bit she gets salty with them sometimes, and it's so funny. Like, he tries to, you know, do something that I'm doing, like I'll be tickling her or something, and then he comes up and tries to tickle her, and she's like, no, Marshall, stop.
Yeah. She's sassy. She's really in that phase where she's loving to, like, be able to put her foot down and show her independence. So you have been a stay-at-home dad since, 2017?
6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so just a brief kind of story on that. Tom was working full-time while I was building up my coaching business. And once my coaching business made enough to where we could live off of that salary, which was not much, I actually approached Thomas and said, hey, do you want to quit your job and let me focus on pursuing my coaching. Like, I really want to make this work. And we had just passed, I think that Marshall was a year and a half. We had just passed a few months prior the milestone of him starting to walk. And I remember you were at work when he started to walk, and you were working really long shifts. You would wake up and be gone usually before he would get up, and then come home when he was already asleep. So you were missing out on a lot of stuff. And when I called you, and I remember like being so excited to tell you that he took his first steps, you just started crying.
Yeah, it sucked. I mean, I was working like 6-7 days a week, every week.
Yeah.
And it was literally 9 to 6 or 9 to 7.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was gone before he was awake. I was back when he was in bed. And I missed a lot of those milestones. And that one was the one that really hit me, just because, you know, it's a big one. But it was like, all right, I missed like the first time he had real food. I missed like just so many little things. And then that one, just, I couldn't. I was like, I don't like this. This sucks. I don't get to spend time with my kid. And yeah, so when you were like, hey, do you want to maybe try something new here? And
yeah.
I was like, yes, like that sounds great. And it's been a lot of learning for sure. And a lot of challenges here and there. But overall, I've really come to embrace it. And I absolutely love it.
You love being a stay-at-home dad?
Yes, so much. Like, I don't know. I feel like I wasn't built for like a job per se. I haven't really held many other than when I was doing the making printing t-shirts and stuff, the screen printing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just feel like I was meant to do something else. And I'm sure that there's more that I'm meant to do. But right now I'm really, really enjoying just being able to shape my kids into good people.
Yeah. I feel like with Lily, especially, like you've really stepped into that role. And I mean, you have always been a great father, and you were a fantastic, you know, stay at home dad for Marshall, too. But I think it just there was more preparation with Lily with being in this role, knowing that, hey, this is, you know, what I'm going to be doing. You have really stepped into it so well. And it's so cool to see. What do you think are like the challenges of being a stay-at-home dad, particularly, not just like a stay-at-home parent, but like being a man in that role? That's not, it's not typical. It's not the traditional role for the male in the relationship.
I mean, I don't really know how to answer that. It used to really bug me. Like when I first started doing it, just if I would tell somebody and it, you know, the, oh, so I guess your wife wears the pants, or, you know, little comments
which
like that.
Which always was another man saying that.
Yeah, 100%. And you've definitely helped me to realize it, too. But that typically comes from, like, jealousy, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, man, like, I wish that I was able to spend more time with my kids, or mm-hmm. I was able to take care of the home. And I don't think that, like, I don't think I would be able to do this role if you were working, you know, like a classic 9-to-5, like you were gone.
Really?
I know that like you do leave the house to work, and you also have your own workspace here. I think that like if you were gone for that set amount of time, like 9 to 10 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
it was just me. I don't think that.
Why? Do you, like from loneliness? Like not being
not just
an
loneliness,
adult?
Just not like really being able to catch a full break. But I think loneliness too would be a part of it. Like not having,
you're another, a social person. You're extroverted.
I am and I'm not. Like,
okay,
I like to talk a lot to people that I really like, but it's really hard for me to like start really like building a new relationship with anybody.
That's not what extroverted means. So you're shy. You're a shy extrovert.
Yeah.
So being extroverted is you get energy from being social or being around people versus me. I am an extreme introvert. I get drained being around people.
Yeah.
Like you're the only person that I can consistently be around and not get drained, because 80% of the time we're just like chilling, doing our own thing, but near each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't really think that it doesn't drain me to really be around people.
Yeah. You're an extrovert. For sure you are. Yeah, so
I do really enjoy being alone sometimes, too. You know?
Yeah, everybody does.
But, like, yeah, just, like, not even talking, quiet. Like, I'll sit there for 8 hours on a video.
Yeah. Well, I think that's your hyperfixation.
That's definitely the ADHD.
The ADHD, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a great transition right there into some of your like mental health journey. Kind of maybe like a brief overview of, I don't know, I love that you've been such a champion for men's mental health. I feel like over the last few years, you've really been vocal about it. I think when you started therapy the first time, right?
No, it was, I think it was when I got my ADHD diagnosis and restarted therapy.
Mm-hmm. When was that?
I think it was like a little over 2 years ago now.
2022?
It might have been 2021.
Yeah,
I think 2021 was when I started to think I had ADHD. So yeah, 22 was when I got diagnosed, and that's when I started like posting about like, oh, I was diagnosed with this, and I was posting about it on my social media and stuff about how it just felt like I had finally realized I wasn't like crazy. You know, I always felt like life was super hard. That it was really hard for me to do the basic things to function in today's society. It was really hard to work up motivation to do anything other than those quick dopamine fixes like video games or, mm-hmm. you know, the hyper fixations. And when I got that diagnosis, it was like, oh, wow. And then when I started my medication, it was 180. I mean, you and so many other people said it that like I had like a drive, yeah. You know, I just felt like a lost little kid for so long in my life. And I'm sure that a lot of that's combined with my trauma. Like that childlike feeling.
Yeah.
But with the meds, it's just, I feel like it's honestly helped me to kind of like that little kid in me to grow up a little bit. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't know.
Well, so I definitely know that you have struggled a lot with anxiety and depression as well, which yeah. I mean, who knows if it the ADHD caused the anxiety and depression because you're struggling with being able to focus, being able to have motivation, or the opposite. We really don't know. But it's very common for people with ADHD to struggle with anxiety and depression as well. And then on top of that, you also have your own trauma from childhood. I don't know how much you want to share about that on the podcast. Maybe we can save that for an episode. That's a heavy episode right there. Get the tissue box. That's the same as, oh God, you're going to go through the same thing I went through.
Yeah, that one's going to need some preparation.
Yeah, for sure. I was so nervous to record my episode. So fair enough. Now, I think when I really started to open up my wounds and face my trauma was not long after your diagnosis and when you started getting on medication. Because remember, we've talked about that kayaking trip before.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah, exact moment.
Exactly. That moment was when I think it shifted for me, because I think for so long, I saw you struggling with your mental health and I saw you struggling with your trauma that I kind of just, I guess, like, put mine on the back burner. But even before like you struggled with your stuff, even before I met you, my trauma was something that I wasn't facing. Like I had never told anybody my whole life.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. So
yeah.
I don't really know. I think it was a combination of being pregnant, finding out that I was pregnant with a girl, and then, you know, you started your medication and we're really getting to like a better place. And mm-hmm. it just like the floodgates fucking opened for me, and like all my pain and all that shit that I had suppressed for so long started coming up. So last year when I really started like getting to a really low place, like I want to just kind of talk about like from your perspective, what happened last year. So when did it start? Like it started the early 2023 when like I got really sad.
Yeah.
You remember that? Like I remember there were a few times where like you came into the bathroom and I was like crying in the fetal position, mm-hmm. like weeping.
Yeah. I don't think that was necessarily the start of it. there was a few times, I think it was within the first year of us moving back here.
Which was 2020.
Oh, no, because I had gotten my diagnosis. I do know that. I think I was starting to struggle to get my ADHD meds.
Mm-hmm.
But
we've had such a headache with that over the years.
Yeah, thankfully not recently. But yeah, I think it started and you kind of closed it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Like that starting to deal with that trauma. You were having things bubble up. I remember you had told me some stuff and I don't really go into detail, but that was a hard moment in our relationship. And,
yeah.
You know, we got through it.
When I was pregnant with Lily, I think is when it started to creep out.
That was when it, I think you weren't able to keep it in anymore.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, like the combination of those feelings, being able to feel your feelings and not having to push them down or...
Feeling safe too.
Yeah,
to
express exactly. Them. And then also the fear of, you know, I don't want something like that to happen to my child.
Yeah.
It's a totally reasonable reaction.
But then Lily was born and, you know, having a newborn, like you kind of do have to shelf that stuff and focus on your baby. So through the course of her infancy, I think there were moments, like you said, it would come out, it would pop out, but then I would shut it down. But last year, so early 2023, I think is when I was just couldn't really hold it anymore. And at least by April was really struggling.
Yeah. I think May was when we went to that Airbnb.
Yeah.
And that was a nice trip, but I could tell that it was up, and then that was when shit hit.
Yeah. Well, a week after that trip is when I told you that I wanted to separate from him.
Yeah. I mean, things were tense, I guess, in a way, like not really feeling the way that they used to.
And yeah.
I think that just, you know, bubbling beneath the surface, we both kind of knew that there was some shit we needed to deal with, but didn't know what it was yet.
Yeah. And there were things between us that we needed to communicate and work through and figure out. And I had talked about in that last podcast episode, you know, I talked about our journey with counseling and how much that's helped us to like really, I said that we had always prided ourselves in being really good communicators, but even though we talk a lot, there were certain things that we really weren't like talking about in a constructive way where it's like, okay, like what can we do here to compromise, to come to a solution, to make this better?
Yeah, it was all or nothing. There was no compromise.
Yeah. But I think the biggest reason why I had to step away from our relationship was just because I couldn't take on anything more than keeping myself like afloat. It was
scary to see that.
Especially because I'm usually like the strong one. I'm usually like the, you know, I've always been the person that.
Yeah. I mean, you're the one that isn't scared to ask for extra ketchup fucking drive through, you know.
Tom has a terrifying.
It's anxiety. I have anxiety learned. It's anxiety.
Yeah.
And apparently that's not a normal thing. People don't think that the person at the drive through is for the rest of their life. But that
I think
was
a lot
you.
Of people listening that was, to that can relate to you.
That was you, you know, like you were the one that was always like, I will help shoulder this. And I think that both of us became complacent. I don't think that I consciously took advantage of that. But I do think that I didn't step up to help you anywhere near as much as you did to help me. And you've done that for everyone, not even just like there's so many people in our life bent over backwards to just try to help and be a source of support, love, and compassion. You've never really taken the time to do that for yourself. So it was scary to see you barely be able to take care of yourself because you didn't know how.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is why I fuck with you, Tom. This is why you're my partner. This is why I love you and I stand by you. You take accountability. Like not a lot of men especially will do that. And I think there's going to be a lot of listeners that hear you say that are like, what the fuck? Like her partner like can admit to being wrong. Like
I made a lot of fucking mistakes. Like I'll be the first to own up to it, you know.
And same like, though. Like I certainly haven't been perfect.
There's no such thing as a perfect person, but
there's no such thing as a perfect relationship. That's why we share these struggles, you know?
If you can't own up to your mistake, like you're literally just lying to yourself, right? Like and that's what's the point of like
yeah. I mean a lot of people do. You're very authentic person.
I'm trying to be now, you know. I feel I like I've really well, yeah, but like minus the anxiety and like that underlying feeling like I'm different, you know. I feel like I've come out of my shell a lot and I've become a lot more confident in who whereas I used to second guess it all the time.
You are so much more confident. And we can actually talk about some things that have helped with that, but I want to go back to so May was when things really started to fall apart. And coincidentally, May is also the month that I started my OnlyFans. We started OnlyFans.
Can you say that?
Yes, you're allowed to say OnlyFans.
Okay.
Oh my god, you're so cute. I'm keeping that in. I'm not cutting that out.
I know, like, you can't like promote it on social media and shit.
No, but your podcast is your podcast if you want.
I started one too, for the record.
Yeah, you had an OnlyFans too. Mm-hmm. You absolutely did. But I mean, mine was
the popular. I made like $17.
You may. I have five of those. Were
free.
Yeah, I was your first tip. Yeah. but I think that it's honestly awkward and embarrassing and frustrating that the month after the OnlyFans experience is when we like got separated and like it was like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure in the lens of social media, right? That it was
like. It looks bad. Yo, it looks bad.
Yeah, like, oh shit, did you see that, dude? It was definitely the OnlyFans.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
So I want to say, and I won't get into it more than this, but at least right now, maybe one day, maybe you guys can get us a little liquored up on an episode and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But me and Tom are very sexually open. We have been our entire relationship. So like that really wasn't a big deal for our relationship, right? Would you agree?
I mean, I wouldn't say it wasn't a big deal. I do think that it was a big deal, it wasn't like a, between oh my God, us. I can't be with you if you do this or, you know.
Oh, you were like hell like, yeah, do it.
Yeah, I was like, dude, fuck yeah, I'll film, like, whatever. Like,
I'll be
dude,
in it.
You're hot as fuck. Yeah, like, let's do this. That's fucking sick. Why not? You know, like, it's.
So it's something that I'd always, like, thought about and wanted to do. And in that moment, it's kind of fucked up, but in that moment of like so much apathy towards life, I was like so low. It actually was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't have like the only thing stopping me is like being afraid of what other people think about it. And like, I don't really care at this point. Like I'm at the bottom of the fucking barrel. So like, whatever, I'm gonna do it. And it was fun. It was fun until it wasn't. And that's what I said in the last episode is like we were like consistently running my account because you were helping me.
Yeah.
We were consistently running my account for a month and then mm-hmm. we stopped. And that was the end of May. It was Memorial Day weekend that we went on that trip, just me and you, and I was really checked out. And then it was a week later that
trip is literally when shit hit the fan.
Yeah. But I talked about in that episode the OnlyFans experience and how, yeah, it was fun until it wasn't fun. And it became not fun when we were struggling in our relationship with our own shit. I was struggling with my mental health. And then, like, we hadn't logged in. So it had been, like, what, 2 weeks. We hadn't logged into the account. Mm-hmm. This is the last thing on our mind. And then we got, like, an email or, like, some kind of notification about, what do you remember what it was?
It said that there was some content that had been paid for that hadn't been sent, and that the money would be refunded in like 10 days or something mm-hmm. if there no action had been taken. And I think I told you that, and you were like, I do not even deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm done, you know, with it. It was an experiment. Well, this experiment's over. So
I didn't want it to be like another, like a job. You know, which.
Yeah, it was turning. Yeah, that was the thing. It was turning into work for you and you were starting to really stress about it.
Yeah, because we did make a lot of money.
Top 1.3% of earners in the month of May.
Y'all, I'm going to be.
And it wasn't even the full month.
I'm going to be straight up with you. We made $10,000 in a month. That's.
Not even a month, though. It was 3 weeks and like 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was fun. But that's the thing. I didn't do it for money. I didn't do it for an income or a job.
It was an experiment.
And, yeah, exactly.
For yourself. And so to figure something out for yourself. And I supported that. And I always have supported that for you.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's fast forward. So I come to you and I tell you I want to get a separation. And ended up getting an apartment, which this man, this sweet, sweet man, obviously it was really hard to be told, you know, the separation. I mean,
you're really glossing over like
of
just a lot of time here, it feels like, because it was like 4 or 5 days of like conversation about that.
Yeah.
It was when you got the apartment, it was like, okay, this is really happening. I didn't know what to do.
But again, you were still like, you weren't supportive of the separation and me getting my apartment. Didn't like that. But ultimately, like you said, yeah, after those days of talking and communicating, You supported my decision. You were there for me as a friend.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I didn't see the situation for what it was when you first approached me with the idea of separating. I saw it more as like, you don't want to be in a relationship with me anymore. And I didn't see my own faults, or a lot of my own faults, especially at that time, because I had begun the journey of working on myself, but I was also just kind of devolving into a lot of negative aspects, my personality that were growing, I guess. I don't know. That was a weird sentence.
No, but, I mean, Discord community definitely brought it out.
Yeah. And that combined with, I mean, I was really excessively drinking.
Yeah. That Discord community really brought it out.
I think that me realizing that you were right in the sense that, you know, you had taken so much on your plate and that you needed to take everything off except for what you needed. And then me realizing that I needed to work on myself, it was like, all right, well, I don't know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that no matter what, I don't want to lose you in my life. So just, I talked to you, I talked to my therapist, and we figured it out. But yeah, it was like, I can sit here and be upset and brood and be mad. But what's the point of that? Like, it's not that I pushed my feelings down, but it was like, you were my best friend. Like, you're the biggest source of support in my life. And you've always been like, you've had my back forever. So it was like, I don't want to lose that. And I know that I don't have to lose.
That was the first time since I've met you that I put myself before you.
Yeah.
That I made a decision that I knew was going to hurt you. And I did it because I finally was trying to take care of myself. And that was the consequence of not taking care of myself for decades, was that like I just had to go be alone. So 7-month lease, spent what, 3 months there? Not even like consistently spending the night for those 3 months though.
I think it was like 3 nights was the most.
Like a consistent 3 nights in a row.
Where we didn't see each other.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Which, being together for almost 15 years and having spent pretty much every night, that's weird.
Yeah. It was hard. I think we had texted here and there, but you had told me at the time too, because I was still trying to accept, you know, the situation. And you're like, look, you can't like text me this much, or, you know, I'm trying to do me. So you set your boundary, like, hey, because I also, my ADHD, right? Like I was giving you updates on like every single fucking thing. And yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. So three nights away in a row, but then for the first 3 months of the, I was there a lot more than I wasn't. And I was here for like dinner with the kids.
You rarely slept at the house for those 3 months. You did not sleep at the house very often at all, because you were, before you got the apartment, you were going through it and you were in that like depressive episode where you basically didn't leave the fucking bed.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was like April.
Yeah. That's, and you were like, I don't remember right now.
I remember what triggered that. After the hard shit, and that was like the first 3 months. That was really rough for us.
That
was
the hardest for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I think that at the end of those 3 months is when we started couples counseling, but we were both doing individual counseling, right?
Hang on. The timeline here, I think it was a little longer than 3 months. It was. Because,
I was back. I was back after my birthday. And June was when I got the apartment.
July?
July was bad.
July was when I stopped drinking.
Yes.
And then like a week later, I stopped smoking, like into August. And
you got sober.
Yeah. And yeah. So, you are right.
Yeah. So we were both in individual counseling.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start individual counseling? Like back up consistently? Because you tried it when? In Colorado. So that was like 2018. You tried it for the first time? Because you've kind of struggled with alcohol for like the last, what, 6 or so years? It's been a...
Yeah. I don't know if I would want to label it as struggling with alcohol as much as I would label it as struggling with acknowledging my mental health and how bad it was.
Okay.
I think I was more so subconsciously trying to avoid feeling or thinking about...
using alcohol to escape.
Yeah. Because now, like, there's never been a time where it was like, I need a drink to not feel. It was just like, I would drink, get drunk, and then the feelings that I was pushing down would come out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never like I needed a drink or like I was dependent on alcohol. It was more so that that kind of brought that out. And when you told me about things that I had said when I was drunk, sober me is like, oh, shit, that's there's something else.
Yeah,
like, there's something that needs to be dealt with. So yeah. I started in 2018. And then it was nothing like drug or alcohol related as far as those sessions. I think I did it for a year and a half, stopped.
Did you like it?
I did. I was really hesitant. You know, you set my account up for me.
Yeah, because you kept saying you wanted to do it, but you were like pushing it off. So I was like, months. I'm just going to make him a fucking account, give it to him, be like, hey, log in and choose your counselor.
Yeah. So,
sorry to cut you off. BetterHelp? Was that what we used? Something
I
like that.
I think it was BetterHelp.
It was one of the online.
Yeah. BetterHelp was what I started with.
We've both had good experiences with that.
Yeah, 100%. I will say that I do think it's gone a bit downhill since 2018, but it's still very easy to connect with a therapist or, you know, to change it if you don't like the one you have. But I have noticed that the consistency changed a bit. But that was, again, that's when I picked it up again in, 2020, right?
Yeah.
When we moved back. I was having a lot of issues with my past, and I broke some ties with some family members. So that was a hard thing to deal with. And I think that was when I really started to drink a lot more.
You said, when you started therapy, it wasn't about having an issue with alcohol.
Yeah, it was anger.
Like, yeah, I'm clearly not dealing with my feelings. So when you started struggling again in 2020, alcohol wasn't really something that either of us had like taken a look at like
an issue right now. Yeah. But so I did that for a bit. I think it was another like year and a half or 2 years. Cause I loved that therapist. She was so awesome.
You've had some really great ones.
But
you were hesitant to start therapy. Why? Did it have anything to do with you being a dude, or was it just a general anxiety about it?
I think it was, I don't want to say a general anxiety. It was more so just that I had done some family therapy growing up. Have family members that have a lot of mental health issues. So I saw a lot of the really negative kind of bad side of mental health. Healing, you know, like therapy, medication, that kind of thing. The way that it was perceived for me growing up, it was a bad thing. You had to be not okay.
You had to be crazy.
And if you have to take medication, it's because you're not normal.
Yeah.
If you have to do therapy, it's because you're not normal. You don't have normal thoughts. So I was hesitant, I think, at first because I didn't want to find out I was crazy. Because I always felt crazy, you know. And even through, like, the first year and a half, like, it was good. It was really good uncovering a lot of my past stuff that I didn't know I was dealing with. But I still kind of felt crazy. And then when I started it up again the second time with the therapist that I loved, I still had that feeling. We ended up talking about that feeling. And I started seeing memes and was like, I think I have ADHD. And she was like, yeah, I think that you do. You need to get yourself diagnosed. That's when I finally stopped feeling like I was crazy. But that was my biggest thing was like, I don't feel like there's something wrong with me, but I feel crazy at the same time, but I don't want to find out that I'm crazy.
Yeah, you know? No, that makes sense. I think that's more normal than you think. And that's what I've told you. Like, over the years, you've said that to me a few times. You've been like, I don't know, sometimes I just like, I feel like I'm crazy. Like, I do these weird things, and like, you'll tell me you're like, you know, weird tick. And I'm like, I really don't, I think you're pretty normal. Like,
yeah. I don't know.
It's normal to struggle, and it's normal to be weird. Like, that's the thing. It's like, weird is normal. I don't know. That could be a whole conversation. Couples counseling.
Yeah.
So we both were doing individual counseling for years, which I would love to definitely hear more. Like, we'll do other episodes in the future about your mental health and men's mental health and the things that you've learned.
I'd love that.
Yeah, you have a lot that you can share from your story. It's been really, really incredible to watch you go on this journey of your own. We finally did couples counseling together the first time ever last year in 2023. So we had been together for 15 years and never done counseling together, even though for years we'd been doing it on our own.
that was a deal breaker for you. That was one of the things you said, that we need to do couples counseling if we're going to continue our relationship.
Yeah.
And I was very, again, I was really hesitant. I was like, no, like, we can figure this out. You know, we don't need to do couples counseling. And I think you were finally like, I need you to schedule the session. Or, like, it wasn't like an ultimatum, but you were like, I don't know. It felt kind of like a, hey, like, I need you to do this because I can't. I'm focused on myself, but I do want to work on our relationship. I don't have the capacity to,
yeah,
like, do this. And to me, that felt like, hey, this is a really good opportunity to step up. Right. And it sounds so silly. Like, yeah, that's such a small thing. But yeah, I set us up for couples counseling, and then I think I scheduled out like 6 fucking sessions or something. Like,
yeah, advance. I remember. Because you did start, like, you started taking it seriously and then hounding me like, hey, I need to get this, like, these sessions scheduled. Yeah, I mean, that's like, that's the common theme, right? It's like what kind of relationship? Hetero? Yeah, we're heteros. I almost said homo. In a homo relationship.
All right.
In a heterosexual relationship, the dude usually is uncomfortable with the idea of therapy.
Feelings of
experiencing, like, I mean, their emotions.
Yeah, dudes can't cry or you know, you're a fucking pussy if you're sad about, or if I hurt your feelings, you're a pussy. Like, that, bro, no, like, we're all humans. Like,
well, and that's what's funny, though, is that you were doing your own counseling. You were comfortable enough to, like,
yeah,
do therapy. But then when it came to couples, because you're going, no, we don't need that. We're fine. So, yeah, it was one of the things I was like, listen, we need to do this. Like, we have to do it. But I put the ball in your court. I was like, I'm, you know, moved out, working on me, focused on my kids. Like, if you want to take this step with me, you got to do it. And you did. And it's been like 9 months now, 8 months now. I don't know.
I think August 1st.
Yeah.
So it was like August 6th.
So 6 months now.
Yeah. Like, we have been. Right after.
Yeah. So 6 months now we have been working with our couples counselor. Love her.
Dude, I fucking love her too.
She's so perfect for us.
Yeah. Like, I want to hang out with her outside of therapy. That's, I know, not you a good can't. Idea. I know, no, you can't, like, do that. But she seems like a really cool person.
Yeah.
And yeah, like,
she has helped us so much. Like, yeah, therapy has helped us so much. And it's not a bad thing, right? It's not like, I think some people
think
that
you don't have to be crazy. You don't have to have a bunch of issues to do therapy. It is a really good way to talk to your partner about things that maybe, yeah, about things that maybe, like, you don't know how to bring up, or it's just really nice because you're able to have a very heartfelt conversation or a very real conversation with your partner, with someone who's a fucking expert
and an unbiased opinion
on what's happening, and is able to guide you through, like, you know, if I can't think of an example, but like, if I was coming off kind of aggressive, it's like, hey, would you like to tell Mallory how you're feeling, mm-hmm, right now, rather than acting it out or voicing how you're feeling, like, with your tone, actually say how you're feeling, like, that kind of thing. And it I know that it sounds silly, but I feel like it's helped us so much, just being able to stop in that moment and not letting the emotion take over, or, you know, the like, logic go out the window.
Yeah. It's taught us conflict resolution. Like,
yes.
That's the big thing. We've always been able to communicate with each other, but, like, our conflict resolution wasn't great. And both of us grew up in very, like, dysfunctional, broken environment, unhealthy environments. Like, we never learned how to be able to resolve a conflict, how to be able to express an emotion in, like, a healthy way.
Yeah. And I think that for, like, part of that had a lot to do with me, because I always felt for so long, anytime there's a problem, like, we have to fix this as soon as, mm-hmm, possible. And that would outweigh the anger I was feeling or anything else, but that anger was still coming out. So, you know, like, we've had some screaming matches at each other, and,
yeah,
and, you know, like, we've gotten really heated in our arguments sometimes.
To be fair, that was when we were like 19.
Well, yeah.
90% of,
yeah,
the maybe five occasions that's happened.
Yeah. I don't mean that they were like every time that this has happened.
I just want to clarify for the audience. We don't typically scream at each other, but we have.
Yeah.
We certainly have.
No, I just mean that, like, for me personally, if we were in a fight, you know, an argument or a disagreement about something, I felt that we had to reach a resolution without stopping. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to take time to process how I was feeling, to calm myself down, to become logical and think about what exactly I was saying.
You have you had an anxious or insecure attachment style.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, because it was, if we don't solve this, then everything's going to go to shit. And,
and we should do a
I'm going to do everything I can to power through.
We should do a whole episode. Because that was one thing I learned in my time of healing. I talked about in that last episode, what I did those months that I was at the apartment and the books I read, doing EMDR, all the different things. And learning attachment style was one thing that was really helpful. And realizing that we both had a really insecure attachment to each other. But mine was the one, I can't remember the name of it now, but it's where you can, you switch from insecure and distant attachment. I can go back and forth. Have you ever noticed that? If we've been in a really bad fight, I can just check out. I can disassociate.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah, but you're way more, I think everybody can do both, but you're way more, we've both gotten better with being more secure in ourselves and our attachment. That's one thing that therapy has kind of forced us to work on. But you would lean way more to the insecure attachment, whereas I was kind of in the middle. Half the time I would get really anxiously attached to you, and then the other half of the time I would pull myself away, detach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I get that just because I was, I agree. I was definitely very anxiously attached because if we weren't okay, or it didn't feel like we were okay, it felt like we weren't ever going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's
your trauma, bro.
Yeah. But then, that would spiral and it was I need to fix this. And then I'd start to get mad or nervous or whatever. That would come out in weird ways because I wasn't able to calm down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's honestly couples counseling has been a game changer, I think, for our relationship. We've never been closer. We've never been communicating as well as we have.
The separation, as much as it fucking sucked. I look back at that time and breaks my heart, man. It saved our relationship. It saved the long term, the forever of our relationship.
Yeah.
Because it rebuilt our friendship. It's so honestly so common, when you become parents and your life revolves around your kids and then, I've got my career, you're so focused on a million different things to run this household. I mean, Marshall's in an extracurricular after school activity fucking 5 days a week.
Let alone the 2-year-old who is literally attached to my butt all day, every day.
She is obsessed with him. I love it. It is
so cute. Can't do anything when she's around, though.
She's obsessed with you. Yeah.
It's super cute until you're trying to load the dishwasher and everything you put in, she takes out and runs away.
Well, because she's also in the phase where she's on a nap. We just switched her to the toddler bed a few months ago, and she does not nap in her toddler bed.
She switched to her toddler bed. I was looking at the camera, and I was like, this looks like a jail cell because it's just a fucking bed. That's all that was in there. So I put some toys in there because that's, And now she's like, oh, fuck yeah, toys, and just plays with toys the whole time. And if you take them out, she's like, nope, I'm not taking a nap anyway.
I want to get you a segment or just a full episode where you can just complain about things. The Family Guy, the Peter Griffin,
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this episode up. Hopefully this was, if anything, entertaining for you. to hear from us. This is my best friend right here. This is my life partner. I love him so much. And let us know if you enjoyed having him on the podcast, because if you guys like having him around, I'm down to include him more. Well, Bubba, it was great having you on. Why are you looking at me like that?
I just had a really good time and that edible's really hitting. This was a lot of fun though.
All right, good. Me too.
What do we kiss now?
No.
You want to touch tips?
Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I can't wait to see you next time.